And good evening once again, everybody. Welcome to Championship Week Video Notebook. Night 2 of Championship Week is done. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood. Here with me, first of all, John Stalica back again. John, have a good night tonight.
Yes, we did. And I guess judging by some of the results, it's a good thing that we didn't assign Albany to Chad either.
Yeah, that's my hometown, in fact. So,
also, who's left? Joby's team is left. John's team hasn't played yet. We're abandoning this practice. It's just
we have to assign teams to Lee and John T before we can completely abandon this.
Yeah. No, I'm vetoing the entire process after what you guys did to me this week. So, but the process here, just for those that have been with us. Yeah. The process here was that we assign each other teams to root for that can only make the tournament by a automatic bid only. You guys gave me NJIT, last year's team of the people, who probably lost in the opening day of Championship Week. So I'm vetoing the entire process. I'm done with it.
When Mary wins out, that's not fair to Joby.
Sorry, Joby. It doesn't matter. I'm vetoing it. Also joining us, David Griggs. David, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Night 2 of Championship Week. Some good games tonight. I'm a little disappointed, though. No quintuple headers tonight or last night.
No quintuple headers. We're actually going to be discussing the quintuple header in a little bit here tonight, though, or something even better than a quintuple header. Just a
what could possibly be better than a quintuple header?
You're going to find out. We're going to discuss it when we get into our preview of tomorrow night's games.
Oh, okay.
But what I'm going to do is I'm going to start by pulling up the screens and get right into the games. And if we can see on my screen here, we see the America East. And now, first of all, don't look at the semifinal matchups because our good friends at CBS Sports, whose brackets we are using, have failed to reseed the semifinals. But let's start with discussing the results. Let's discuss these results tonight. First of all, almost the upset of the championship week so far, UMBC. Almost knocked off Stony Brook in a complete shocker.
Yes, and I realize most people watching this aren't going to appreciate just how big of an upset this would be. Stony Brook, top 100 team, UMBC, are they even in the top three? I mean, they're really bad. The gap between Stony Brook and UMBC in most power ratings is much bigger than the gap between a 1 seed and a 16 seed most of the time. That's how far apart they are, RPI, any power rating.
RPI after tonight's win, Stony Brook is at 66. UMBC is at 336.
Yeah, we're talking way bigger. The gap between these two is bigger than a 1 in 16 typically is. Now, I realize they are under the radar. We do under the radar show, and I think sometimes when the general fan, they just don't comprehend that once a team's outside the bubble, that there's a large difference between a team like Stony Brook and a team like UMBC. But yeah, a 270 spot difference. It would have been one of the biggest upsets of the season, maybe the last. I don't know. UIC beat Illinois one year when they were in the 300s or something? I mean, it would have been a massive upset.
I'll put it another way here. UMBC is in the top 25 in terms of all the centenary rankings here, but they were competitive not just for the first half, but for a good 10 to 15 minutes of the second half as well.
Right. It was preposterous.
We discussed last night that we thought there was a huge disparity between the top four and the bottom four teams. Not only did UMBC give Stony Brook a game, Binghamton was right in there with New Hampshire all night. New Hampshire pulled it out. Yeah. Vermont pounded Maine. But then the upset of the night, Hartford goes into Albany, who has won three straight America East Conference tournaments, been in the tournament NCAA three straight years, was, I think, almost our unanimous pick. At least John and I know both picked Albany to win this conference tournament. And pulls off the upset.
Yes. Well, I would like to say that I did not pick Albany, and I was right. But that's nothing new. Nothing new there. Me being right, you all being wrong.
And how about those Hartford Hawks, John?
Yeah, this would have been a team that we could have assigned to our colleague Lee Del Vecchio, who seems to have season tickets to all the teams in the Connecticut 6.
Yeah.
but what we have now, the semifinals won't be coming up until Monday night. The matchups are incorrect from what you see on the screen there. There is a reseeding. So Stony Brook will actually be hosting Hartford. Vermont will be hosting New Hampshire as the two semifinals. With these new matchups that are not what you see on the screen there, David, I assume you're sticking with Stony Brook. John, who do you think wins this? Are you on the Stony Brook bandwagon now?
It's always a good sign when Hartford is getting a standing ovation at Stony Brook once they announce the score. So, I mean, I could see Vermont possibly giving Stony Brook some trouble, but I think this is the Sea Wolves' year now.
I did pick New Hampshire to be in the championship game. I'm going to stick with that, but at this point they're going to be playing they're going to have to win at Vermont and then be playing host to Stony Brook to be playing at Stony Brook in the championship game.
Yeah. If Stony Brook does not win this tournament, they're never going to win this tournament.
Albany is gone. Vermont is the scariest team left, I guess. So we'll see what happens. We're going to go on.
They have to be Hartford at home and most likely Vermont at home. If they can't do that, I'm sorry. But the good thing is that Albany will not blow it at home against Albany this year.
It's a shame that Tom Brennan no longer has his radio show in the mornings in Vermont, because this would be must-see theater on the radio each morning for the next week.
Yeah, it was hilarious. He would call the coach's hotel every morning whenever they play. It was great.
Now, last night when we were previewing the Northeast Conference, which is now up on the screen here, we were talking about how even this conference was heading to the tournament, and we ended up with four really good games tonight. Even though some of them ended up being 9 or even 11-point finals there, each one of them was a close competitive game at certain points here. Wagner actually had a big lead early on Robert Morris. Robert Morris came all the way back to tied at 42 before Wagner put him away. Mount St. Mary's was down, I believe, 14 points in the second half at SFNY before they came back. And then the upset, LIU Brooklyn, pretty much cruised over Sacred Heart. And, David, the game of the night, I think, was that Fairleigh Dickinson SFPA game, though.
Yeah, it was. It was the game of the night, and it was the poorest attendance of the night. But I will say this. We watched it. The Fairleigh Dickinson fans that were there were going bananas the whole game. I mean, and granted, they had plenty of room to run and jump and move around because it wasn't that crowded. And I think it was also the announcer of the night. This guy was losing his mind. It was fabulous.
It really was. He made up for every fan that wasn't there, he made up for. Now, Fairleigh Dickinson will be in the semifinals coming up on Saturday. They will actually be playing host to Mount St. Mary's. Again, the brackets there in this are wrong again. CBS, we're going to have to talk to them and get them to correct this. But Fairleigh Dickinson will be hosting Mount St. Mary's in one semifinal. The other semifinal, Wagner, will be hosting LIU Brooklyn.
Don't be deceived by that final score you see between Sacred Heart and Long Island Brooklyn. The Blackbirds actually led by as many as 19 points in that game, but Sacred Heart was actually able to cut that to a one-point lead late in the second half, but just could not get over the hump.
Where were the fans tonight at Fairleigh Dickinson? I mean, I realize that these are elimination games. I realize that they're way below the sight line of the national psyche, but I mean, it is. Like, if you get to play until you lose, and if you win, they're in the semis with a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. But having said that, the fans that were there were incredible.
Hopefully it'll be better attended against Mount St. Mary's coming up on Saturday. This Fairleigh Dickinson program has been awful the last few years. I believe this is the first time in about the last 3 or 4 years they've even made the NEC tournament. Going in there with a 2 seed and a shot to not only make the NEC championship game, but if LIU upsets Wagner, they could be hosting the NEC championship game.
Right.
Part of me wonders if there was a silent protest going on by Fairleigh Dickinson fans, because David brought this up in the email thread where Mount St. Mary's school president actually had to resign today for some pretty off-color comments.
Mount St. Mary's, won their basketball game. They've had a spectacular day as an institution. Their president resigns, and this is true. We're not going to be able to get the USA Today article up, but he made a comment about how freshmen were like puppies, and we need to drown the puppies and hold guns to their head to make them tougher. Like, not a very presidential thing to say.
Jim Phelan would not approve of that, those comments whatsoever.
So that happened today, and the team won. What a great day. I wish I was a student at Mount St. Mary's right now. What a day they've had.
Well, given what the bracket is now, though, David, do you have a revised pick as to who's going to win this conference tournament?
No, I still like Wagner.
Okay, John, do you also still like Wagner?
Yep, and I hope that's not the kiss of death for the Seahawks.
Well, I'm going to go a little different here. I'm going to go with this Fairleigh Dickinson team. I had picked SFNY, so they're out already. I'm going to go with Fairleigh Dickinson now, see if they can't make the run here and get some more fans in there on Saturday. Fairleigh Dickinson fans, show up Saturday. I haven't heard yet if it's going to be the 2 o'clock or the 4 o'clock game on Saturday, but whichever time it is, be there. Show
and
up
this
at
is
2.
Jack if it's a 4 o'clock in New Jersey.
Show up at 2 o'clock. If it's a 4 o'clock game, you hang out for 2 hours and tailgate. Just show up at 2 o'clock.
Right. Get there.
All right. The other two games that were played tonight were in the Ohio Valley Conference, which should be coming up on the screen right now. And what an exciting pair of games tonight, John. weren't they just thrilling?
Yeah, they were thrilling enough that I didn't mind my laptop actually crapping out on the feeds for two of those games.
My feed was cramping out too, and this is normally, I mean, we watch a lot of games on the OVC network. It's a great network. It was one of the first ones.
I've been complaining about the OVC network all season, actually. I've had lots of problems with them all year, so.
Well, screw them then.
Luckily, tomorrow's the last day we have to deal with them. By the semifinals will be on ESPNU. So
ladder format. Murray-Moorhead should be fun. It always is.
Yeah, these semifinals are correct. Murray and Moorhead State, that's a great rivalry. That should be a good game. The other game, Austin Peay, actually an upset of Tennessee Tech. A Tennessee Tech team that was in line for the one seed, fell apart losing three of their last five regular season games, and then just getting crushed tonight by Austin Peay. I expect Tennessee State to roll tomorrow. I expect a good game in the nightcap, though.
And this was an Austin Peay team that actually finished a good four games behind Tennessee Tech in the standings.
Now, almost a funny thing here. The only reason Tennessee Tech played Austin Peay was because in the regular season finale they beat Eastern Kentucky. Had they lost that game, they wouldn't have had to play Austin Peay, so they can blame themselves for that.
Yeah, Tennessee Tech falling apart at the end of the season and then really finishing the job off today. Wow.
All right. Those two games are tomorrow in the OVC. We're going to go ahead right now and preview the rest of the games that are coming up tomorrow beyond the Ohio Valley. We're going to start with the next bracket up is one we saw last night. We're coming up to the semifinal. First conference to reach the semifinal round. North Florida, Florida Gulf Coast, and Lipscomb Stetson in the Atlantic Sun. That real interesting 6-7 on one side, 1-4 on the other side. The question here is, North Florida, Florida Gulf Coast, is that really for the championship?
It is if Stetson wins.
And this is one reason why they have North Florida and Florida Gulf Coast tipping off a little bit later, just in case Stetson were able to pull off another upset.
Yeah, and the situation here, Chad, kind of unique. I know you talked about it yesterday, but for those that may have missed it or watched and forgotten, North Florida Gulf Coast can win this game, lose to Stetson, and then North Florida would go because they have decided that if Stetson wins this conference tournament, they're sending their first-place team, not the team that they beat in the championship game. Is that correct?
That is correct. So North Florida, even with a loss tomorrow, if Stetson wins, North Florida will not be eliminated. If it ends up being Lipscomb and Gulf Coast, then it's just a regular championship game.
Right.
If it ends up being Lipscomb and North Florida, same thing.
Yes.
So, in a way, I'm kind of rooting for Lipscomb just because it's a little bit too strange.
That would be pretty awesome of North Florida fans to go down to Florida Gulf Coast and storm their floor if Stetson wins.
That would be – that's what I want to see.
Or even if it is I guess if North Florida and Stetson reach the play in the championship game, we could have the rare double court storming if Stetson wins and their fans storm the floor court. But
when you say rare, is that ever? Dude, that would be incredible.
It almost happened last year in the SWAC, but Southern pulled out the win. Texas Southern pulled out the win over Southern. Mm-hmm. The other conference that we did see started last night continues again tomorrow. Patriot League. David, your team, Army, hosting Colgate.
Yes.
These games are at campus sites. BU hosting American, Navy and Bucknell also. I'm sorry, Lehigh and Bucknell hosting games. Anything you're looking forward to in these four games tomorrow night?
Well, no, just Army, my team. We are going to win this league and go to the NCAA tournament, first time ever. And again, like, it's good that you assigned me West Point because although I didn't go to West Point, I think I personally embody everything that that institution stands for.
I'll tell you, I think I have a potential upset here, and that's the 2-7 game. I would not be shocked if this Navy team knocks off Lehigh. Navy was pretty good all season. They kind of fell apart late. I think they have the talent to beat Lehigh.
They certainly do. And they when you say they were good all season, they were good out of conference. They were good for the first half of conference play. And they've been awful since, but they looked pretty good last night, albeit against Lafayette, who's terrible.
It is a tricky opener for Lehigh, but I still think if they get past the Mideast, they should have a favorable path to the Patriot League championship.
Well, remember, this American team was kind of stormed down the stretch as well, fell off a little bit at the very end of the season, but this was a red-hot team in the middle of the conference season, so I keep an eye on them as well.
And we also have to ask another vital question. Is this game on the roof tomorrow night?
Yes, it is.
It is. It's beautiful. The roof is one of my favorites. St. Francis Brooklyn is probably my favorite. It's the best venue in college basketball. I think St. Francis Brooklyn should try and host a Final Four. That's how much I love that venue.
This is not 1942 anymore, David. Sorry. Let's move on to a conference that's kicking off play. We have not discussed this conference yet. Kicking off play tomorrow, beginning at 2:00 in the afternoon. First time we have afternoon conference tournament games tomorrow. So leave work by 1:30 to get home to watch this. Right. Big South kicking off the 8-9 game at 2:00 between Longwood and Charleston Southern. We also have the 7-10 game between Bradford and Presby, and the nightcap is Gardner-Webb at Campbell, because Campbell is hosting all these games.
Bowie's Bedlam, ladies and gentlemen.
Bowie Bedlam, there we go. First of all, the first question is, do you see anything particular that stands out for tomorrow night's games? And the second question is, who do you think wins this entire tournament? David, let me start with you with that question.
One of the things that stands out, and again, you see it right there, Campbell playing host to Gardner-Webb. I think Campbell might be the worst team ever to host a conference tournament.
Okay, and who do you think does win this conference tournament then?
Not Campbell. There's so much parity in this league. I still like High Point. They did end up finishing first overall. But I think it's going to be High Point or Winthrop. But having said that, you know, having followed this league all year, having seen all these teams, it's you get the sense that like anybody's capable of really beating anybody, minus Campbell, who isn't capable of beating anyone.
John, do you agree with him?
I'm sticking with the Skip Prosser coaching tree and going with Winthrop in this one. I'm picking the Fighting Kelseys to win this tournament.
I'm going to pick a team that I think in the championship game is going to win a Big South game for the last time in its school history. I'm going to go with Coastal Carolina in their final Big South season. Cliff Ellis getting it done again. Mostly because I think High Point and Asheville in the semifinal, those two teams are going to take a lot out of each other. I think it's going to be such an even matchup. Two teams that really fought for the championship all season long here. I think a team like Coastal could steal it from them the next day.
You do realize these games are not going to be played in Conway this year, right?
I do, but I'm still going with Coastal, the number 3 seed.
Yeah, now are these on ESPN3 or are they on the Big South Network?
It'll be the Big South Network for tomorrow's games. Everything after tomorrow will be on ESPN3. So tomorrow you're going to want to go to the Big South website.
Is it a free stream or do we need to pay for it?
It's a free stream.
It is a free stream. I'm excited.
It is a free stream.
Okay. Are you sure about that? I mean, I take it you're right, but I didn't think they were coming in until the 17-18 athletic year. They're not scheduled to play football next year.
They're not scheduled to play football. They are going to be there for basketball next year.
Oh, okay.
All sports other than football. They're doing a transitional year in the football up to
okay. One. Yeah. That, okay. Yeah. Because football. Okay.
Yes. So Coastal will be there next year, and let's in the Sun Belt. Let's move over to the second-to-last conference for tomorrow, the Missouri Valley Conference, one of the premier conference tournaments actually kicking off. This is a big one here. Obviously, Wichita State, the a team that we've been discussing as a potential at-large candidate, even if they don't win this. Tomorrow we have the 8-9 game, Loyola Chicago versus Bradley, Missouri State versus Drake. Arch Madness kicking off tomorrow, though, David.
Yes, love this tournament.
This has been one of the best tournaments historically, I think.
Yeah, it certainly has. And as far as the fan experience, as far as the atmosphere, and as far as just the quality of the play, the rivalry in this league, it generally has at least one team inside the bubble, sometimes more. The last several years it's had, two, and I think 1 year it had as many as three. I think Wichita's inside the bubble again. If Wichita wins their quarterfinal game, I think they're safe no matter what. And I'd still lay 60-40 that they get in, even if they don't. One of the things about this, and looking at these games tomorrow, Loyola was a team that I thought was really going to be good this year, especially with how strong they had finished the end of last year and what they had coming back.
They won the CBI last year, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, they did, and they have just been extremely disappointing for them to not even to finish eighth in a league that isn't as good as it normally is.
Is Wichita State your pick to win this conference tournament, or do you think somebody else is going to steal the bit here?
Wichita is my pick, but I need to qualify that by saying that I don't think they're going to run away with it. And I wouldn't be surprised if they went down in the semis to Northern Iowa.
I think those other two quarterfinals, we'll talk more about them tomorrow night. I think those are two very good-looking games there, Northern Iowa, Southern Illinois, Illinois State, Indiana State.
Yeah.
John, your pick to win the MVC.
I'm going to pick Wichita to win this, but I do think it is pretty vital that they win this tournament because there is a good chance that we're not going to see chalk hold up for many of these matchups here. Because I think there's a very good chance this bracket could possibly fall apart depending on what Southern Illinois and even the Trees are able to do in their quarters coming up in a couple days.
I'll tell you, my pick here is I think that Wichita State is not going to win this conference tournament. I'm going with the Evansville Aces to win this.
Whoa, okay.
And defeat Northern Iowa in the championship game. So I'm picking a little bit off the chalk there.
We've seen that happen in this tournament before. Northern Iowa's playing pretty well, and Ben Jacobson is a really good coach. And they gave Wichita fits the last time that they played. It would not surprise me at all to see UNI beat Wichita in the semis. All right.
David, I saved this one conference here for last. I mentioned at the top of the show that we do not have a quintuple header. We have something even better than that in the Metro Atlantic. It combines the women's games and the men's games tomorrow. We have a six-tuple header, six games tomorrow in the Metro Atlantic. The women start at 9:30 a.m. with their three first-round games, and beginning at 5 p.m., the men's first-round games, Ryder-Quinnipiac, Canisius, Niagara, Manhattan, Marist. And David, can you tell us where we get to watch these games?
Well, I'm just pumped. Six games. I can't wait to watch them. A six-tuple header. This is going to be amazing.
Yeah, where do we get to watch them?
On the internet.
No.
What?
Welcome to the Metro Atlantic that does not have any streaming whatsoever for its first round games. Maybe you could find a radio feed somewhere. That's all you're going to get.
We need to send Lee Delvecchio. We need to send him.
Let's get to look at these games here. As far as tomorrow's games, I gotta highlight that Canisius Niagara game though. I mean, talk about Iona Manhattan, probably the number one rivalry in this conference. Canisius Niagara being, I believe, about 25 miles apart from each other, right in the Buffalo area there in New York.
Two of the big three.
Big four, because I think St. Bonaventure is considered part of that Western New York group there. But yeah,
well, Buffalo was the most recent addition to what was the original big three between Canisius, Niagara, and the Bonnies.
Yeah. But Canisius and Niagara, David, I actually did a little bit of research here. Canisius and Niagara, 30 miles apart, and I don't believe they've ever met in the NCAA tournament.
They have not met. Well, that is fascinating trivia right there. That is something. 30 miles apart, they've never met.
Actually, I need to make an apology right here because I'm expecting to be chastised by the folks in Buffalo right now because we need to start calling them New York. Is that right?
No, that's what they think we need to do. That is not what we need to do.
Let me start with you, John. Do you see any upsets in these three games tomorrow night? And then second of all, who's going to win this entire conference tournament?
If they hit free throws as well as they did on Sunday, I could see Niagara pulling off a mild upset, but I certainly don't see Manhattan falling. And an 8-9 game, can it really be an upset if Quinnipiac pulls this off?
No, that's a coin flip game anyhow. I agree with you there. Are you going to go with Monmouth now is the other question.
David, you first.
No.
David, who are you going with?
Siena.
John?
As much as it pains me to say this, I'm going with Clues to get his revenge in the tournament this year.
That's not a bad pick. Iona the last few years has done very well in this tournament, either winning it or coming in second, and last year it was a very close game. For as much as Clues, they've actually held up in the tournament.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going to actually kind of agree with John here that I partially in that I do believe that Iona will be in the championship game, that they will knock out Siena or possibly Manhattan even, but probably Siena. But I do think that Iona is going to lose in that championship game to the Fairfield Stags.
You're going with Fairfield. You heard it here first.
I don't think Monmouth is good enough the way they're playing right now to get past the semifinals. And I think that Clues would Clues in the championship game. That's why I'm picking Fairfield. It's solely based on the bracket here.
So it has nothing to do with anything you like about Fairfield.
I don't like anything about Fairfield. I don't like Monmouth, and I think Clues will Clues. That is why I go with Fairfield. And if St. Peter's knocks off Fairfield, my pick is going to become St. Peter's.
Oh, man.
We're assigning St. Peter's to Chad right now.
Hey, I didn't go with the Jersey team this time. I went with Fairfield, okay?
I am legitimately disappointed that year after year they do not stream the opening round or show it. I mean, they have everybody's there, the equipment is there, everything they need to do. They stream every game all season long. Why don't they put these on? It literally makes no sense.
You're preaching to the choir here, David. But
hashtag
on that note,
we
want to pull up now our survival board. I think, David, you're going to pull that up on your screen, if I'm correct.
Here in a minute.
Get it here. This is our survival board. This is the number one tool for the NCAA. John, do you know why this is such an important tool?
Well, as we explained last night, we want to make sure that the NCAA is not selecting any teams that would be ineligible, nor do we want them to select teams that have already been moved off the board here. So
right,
we want to make sure they don't select Albany by accident.
Right, and we do this for the NCAA. It's an extremely valuable tool that is available to them. They can log on to the internet just like you may be logged on right now and look at this board, and then it tells them what to do. And not only does it tell them how many teams are left, it tells them what their status is. You see that, some teams are in bold, some teams are in italics. It lets them know exactly what they're supposed to be doing. I visit this site all the time. I was on it for hours today. The information that I have from being on this page is overwhelming.
Now, right, heading into today, we were down to 317 with an asterisk, the asterisk referring to the Grand Canyon Antelopes, for whom a waiver is still pending. We're starting to run out of time, but we're still working on it. We're waiting for Mark Emmert to call us back still.
Yes.
So 317 with a star, and we are going to do here in just a couple moments here, we are going to be updating this board here. Give us half a second here. But what we will do is we're going to update this board and show you what the results of tonight's games have done as we move closer and closer to that 300 number. David, did we get under 300 teams today? Let's go ahead.
Just keep in mind, Chad, one more thing. It's itemized by conference. You see there, 14, right. 8. But let's see how many teams are left. And we're going to hit this and what happens. We're down to 307.
Down to 307. So we did not get under 300 teams. We are starting to toe that 300 line, though.
Yeah.
307 teams remain after today's games. We will be dropping under 300 tomorrow, so huge day.
Right. And the America East, again, down to 4, ASUN down to 3, some of these other conferences hasn't started yet. I'd like to congratulate my Army Black Knights for advancing to the final 307.
This is the Elite 317.
Yeah, the Elite 307.
We're going to
be making T-shirts.
Just a quick note about tomorrow night also, in addition to losing some teams that lose in conference tournaments, we have a couple of teams left that might get eliminated in the regular seasons. In both the Sun Belt and the Southland, there's a couple teams left that are not going to qualify to the conference tournaments. Some of those could get locked up tomorrow. And also the MEAC is going to be concluding regular season play tomorrow, so we'll have a conference tournament bracket on the site for the MEAC, hopefully by the end of the night tomorrow.
Yeah.
But on that note, any other thoughts for the evening? David, let me start with you.
Well, I'm, again, disappointed in the lack of quintuple headers tonight and tomorrow night. I mean, there is the one that you mentioned. The problem is we can't watch it.
John, how about you?
I think in tribute to our good friend Ken Pomeroy, David Griggs is going to be sending out a special tweet to someone who's going to be in the final 300 tomorrow, so they'll get a personal apology after they lose in their respective conference tournament.
Yeah. I'm going to be tweeting it. I'm going to be tweeting at the Metro Atlantic, and all of you should do the same about streaming.
Yeah. It's going to be a great day tomorrow. There's a lot of games that are going to be on that you're going to be able to watch, but there's three games that you will not be able to watch. The only way you can watch them is get in the car right now, get to Albany, be there by 5 o'clock tomorrow. Heck, be there by 9:30 tomorrow morning and watch all six games.
Yes.
I want to see somebody do that.
Mm-hmm.
But on that note, thanks for joining us, everybody, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow night.